Good afternoon. I'm excited to be doing this shiur. I just mentioned to our brand a little earlier today that I think it's been a little while since I've gotten to just work through Gemara with Rishonim, kind of a Iyun learning shiur, so I'm very excited to be able to do some of that with you. In particular, on a topic with both some practical halachic relevance, as I'm sure you saw if you got to the end of the Makoros, as well as a topic with some conceptual relevance for how we think about halacha or halachic rulings more generally. So I hope we'll get a chance to sort of tease out some of those details as we learn together. Okay, so we started with this Gemara on Daf Chaf Zayin, an Aleph in Brachos. So my understanding is you've seen some Gemaras surrounding this, but this piece in particular, not as much. And we're dealing with the time for reciting Mincha, or particularly the conclusion of when you should recite Mincha. And already just in this Gemara, you see a couple of interesting notes about how halakha questions are asked and answered, right? So we start, Amar Le Rav Chisda Le Rav Yitzchak, you know, since Rav Kahana said we follow Rabbi Yehuda, because he's mentioned in that Mishnah, Mesachat Adriot, did you see that piece of context, or I could contextualize
that
a little bit?
We went back up.
Oh, you went back to see that Mishnah.
Just a few, well, just the by the two dots above, by Amar Rav Nachman, Af Anan Nami Tanina. So we read that part to see, well, what does it mean that Rabbi Yehuda, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Tchirat Tzalkivante.
Okay,
so we didn't go to the Gemara and Edjot, we just went up to a little further on the daf, up on the daf, to see what was the original case that they're citing.
Right, okay, so perfect, that's really helpful, right? So we're invoking a certain kind of authority here, right? Mishnayot and Adiyot are very good Mishnayot, they're in some sense better than other Mishnayot, they were recited in front of the full yeshiva, they were vetted in that way, and so if Rabbi Yehuda's position is asserted in that Mishnah and Adiyot, we should follow it. So do we follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? So, and that was true vis-a-vis Shacharis. Do we say the same thing vis-a-vis Mincha? So the implicit assumption of the question is, well, if we follow a particular authority, we have to follow that authority through and through. If it's Rabbi Yehuda, we should follow him until the end. I think is at least the havamina, the assumption of the question. Rav Yitzchak doesn't really respond. Ishtik. I taught this Gemara last year to middle school students. They really got a kick out of that line in particular. Ishtik velo amar le velo midi. They thought it was nice and refreshing for them to ask a rabbi a question and the rabbi to not know the answer. So Rav Yitzchak, or at least to concede that he doesn't know the answer. So Rav Yitzchak doesn't seem to know. And we bring evidence now from rabbinic behavior, which itself is an interesting point. The behavior of rabbinic figures is as much of halachic data as their explicit statements. So Rav would daven Shabbos davening on Erev Shabbos. They would daven, you know, an early Friday night davening, and so that seems to prove that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Working out exactly why is important. The reasoning seems to be that if you're willing to daven a Friday night, you know, Shabbos Mariv, before sunset, before the end of the day, meaning while it could still be considered Friday, you know, before Shkia, so that implies that the time for Mincha should be understood as correspondingly earlier. This relationship between Mincha and Mariv is assumed by the Gemara and is going to be very important when we start working out a few of the details in the Rishonim. Meaning the assumption that the Gemara has here is that whenever Mariv starts, Mincha ends. And so if Mariv could start before sunset, so Mincha must also end before sunset. That's why Rav's behavior, that he would daven Friday night davening before apparently sunset, is a proof for Rabbi Yehuda. At the same time, we have a conflicting piece of evidence. Rav Huna and the Rabbanan more generally would apparently wait to daven Shabbos Mariv until nightfall. Well, according to that view, if you would deliberately wait until nightfall, that seems to suggest that you can't daven earlier, which must mean that the Mincha time actually makes it all the way to nightfall. And so we have these conflicting pieces of evidence from conflicting rabbinic authorities as to how to rule in this question. Do we rule like Rabbi Yehuda or do we rule like the Rabbanan? And then we get what is, I think, a fairly atypical conclusion to our Gemara, which is where a lot of the Rishonim start biting into this. We get a conclusion that says, since we don't have any clear ruling one way or the other, Avad Kamar Avad, Davad Kamar Avad. You could follow either opinion. You could follow Rabbi Yehuda, you could follow the Rabbanan, and both opinions are acceptable, legitimate, they're both live options for you. And I thought that was atypical. what might you have expected, right? If I didn't show you the last line of the Gemara and I ask you to guess what the answer should be, you may have had a few hypotheses. Some of the Rishonim and Achronim bring these up. If you didn't say Avad Kamar Avad, what would you have said?
Well, you either should have said the halachas of Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanan.
Right, so it could have ruled definitively, right? At the end of the day, we have, you know, ruling for all sorts of halachic matters. Hilchata so-and-so is a very common line in the Gemara, so we should have just given a direct ruling. Right. That would have been one option, and not to be sort of like, maintain this tension between both live options. Perhaps another option, some of the Rishonim, the Pnei Yehoshua, also among the Achronim points this out. It is a little bit surprising that when you have a machloka between a yachid and a rabbim, Rabbi Yehuda on the one hand, and the group of chachamim on the other, that we should keep Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as a live option. We have a rule in halacha, yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. So I could have expected, well, it's Rabbi Yehuda and maybe Rav, who seems to follow Rabbi Yehuda on the one side, those are minority views, and the majority view should be to follow the chachamim. That doesn't seem to be how the Gemara concludes, which is a little bit atypical. Okay, but we have this phrase Avad Kamar Avad, and you've seen a couple of different, explanations of how that phrase applies in practice. I think we could probably identify three distinct views among Rishonim about how to interpret this phrase. The first you saw in Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah's commentary on the Rif, who summarizes the Gemara in Brachot. That's what that line, Rif pagination, is telling you. They've reorganized the Gemara in slightly different pages because he cut out a lot of the Agadata. And he says as follows. Aval pi shenira mikan shim yirnse yachol lepal arvin yipal kamen chav eilach del Rabbi Yehuda. Even though it seems from here that if you want to daven marav from after plag hamincha, so that would be from 4:45 in your idealized day. You could have a mara from then. And because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham ve'elach, eno zman tefillat mincha, and definitionally, if it's not going to be mincha, it's going to be marav. And uledivrei Rabbanan yachol lidpala mincha ad erev. According to Rabbanan, you could say mincha after plaga mincha till the evening. However, afilu hachi, ein lo adam laso pe'inyan shiyu minhagotav sotrim zadzeh. You can't make your minhagim internally contradictory. That's a problem. Sheim yidpala mincha lefam minplaga mincha ve'elach kerabanan. Ulefam minplala arvid ba'otozman tkodim shkiyat achama kerabi Yehuda nimtu dvarav sotrim zadzeh. This is a nice line there. In order to say that I'm able to daven mincha now, I'm implicitly making the claim that now is considered daytime. Night has not yet fallen. That's the only way I could daven a daytime prayer. So for me to say that this is daytime precludes the possibility of me saying this is nighttime, and vice versa. So once I've taken an approach to say this is day, I have to stick with that approach, and it sounds from Rabbeinu Yonah that that's pretty much exclusive. He adds a caveat at the end, after sort of further specifying exactly what he means. Va'achshav, so now okay, let's be specific. What is the practice? Achshav, kevan sheminhagenu lidpal tefillat mincha achar plaga mincha kerabanan. Now that our minhag is to daven mincha, in fact, until sunset. Ein lanu lidpal tefillat arvit kodem shkiyat achama kerabbi Yehuda el alazor akol kerabanan. We must follow the rabanan consistently. At the very least, I think he would say, as our minhag. It might be that he would concede that if you move to a place where we don't have the minhag of saying mincha until sunset, and we only say mincha until plag, he might be willing to make that shift with you. But your community might have a definite fixed answer to this question. He adds a little caveat here. Mihu b'di'eved imid palal tefilat arvit b'chavana, let's say b'plag ha-mincha ul ve'elach yatza. If you daven early, meaning you daven in a time that you, in your own halachic life, have decided is considered daytime by davening mincha, if you daven marav then, still you fulfilled your obligation to daven marav. V'lo mechayvina ne'lachshor l'pavol, and you don't have an obligation to go back and repeat it. So that's a little bit odd, right? Like, if I've decided this is day, like, completely, this is daytime. It can't be viewed as nighttime anymore. So once it's daytime, I can't daven marav during the day. If I daven, sat down and daven marav right now, no one would say I was yosei. So this is a little bit of ground he's giving back for practical halacha purposes. And it's very helpful because it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch actually does pasken this way. I didn't give you that source, but both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in Siman Reish Lamed Gimel of Orach Chaim seem to adopt this view of Rabbeinu Yonah. They only debate what the minhag is, which is kind of funny. So the Shulchan Aruch says our minhag is to daven mincha until sunset, and therefore you can't daven Maariv until after sunset. The Rama says the same thing, but he says our minhag is to daven mincha only until Tlaka Mincha, and so therefore you could daven Maariv earlier, and you can't daven mincha later. And both of them also concede that b'di'eved, you're able to cross over on this line, but only as a b'di'eved. Let's see if I have the language of the Rama here, right? These talk about our Medina, our Minhag, and they also both concede that b'shad adchak yatza. Okay. They also make other comments about Teda Kochavim, which are not so relevant for us. Okay, so this is one view, the view of Rabbeinu Yonah. It seems to be the majority view in the Rishonim. You also saw the view of the Meiri, which is probably what I would call the minority view in the Rishonim, and then Rabbeinu Tam is the, like, fringe, strange, radical view in the Rishonim. Meiri quotes that view and says, "Eini nisakim l'dad zeklal." I don't agree with this at all. Rather, ela biyom echad ein ra'u lo l'dpal bo mincha v'arvis. I can't daven on one day mincha and ma'ariv, both within the 4:45 to 6 o'clock window. However, avo miyom liyom ein lachosh klal. I don't have to be concerned about this at all from day to day. So today I could daven mincha at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow I daven ma'ariv at 5 o'clock, and both of those are fine. Ve'ein kan mishum tarte desatre ahadadi. And I'm not concerned about being internally contradictory, having two contradictory opinions. Dibidirabanan lo chayshinan. Because regarding dirabanans, at least, we're not concerned about having an internal contradiction. It's an interesting comment as well, that dirabanans may be different, and you may see a similar thing in the Rush a little bit later. Rabbeinu Yonah and Meiri both allude to pieces of evidence. I don't think I actually gave you Rabbeinu Yonah's evidence here, but their Rush, I think, quotes it a little bit later, the Gemara and Erevin. They each have different cases that serve as their paradigms for their opinions here. The Rabbeinu Yonah is based on this case in the Gemara and Erevin, which goes as follows. In the Gemara and Erevin, you have a machloka between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about, really it seems to be a physiological machloket. The question is, what constitutes a complete skull and spine? They're dealing with two different sets of bones in the body, which has several halachic ramifications. Let's focus on the spine, just because it's a little bit simpler to focus on. Beit Hillel says, once you're missing one of the vertebrae, your spine is no longer considered complete. Beit Tamai says, in order to be an incomplete spine, you need to be missing two vertebrae and not just one. And the Gemara mentions two nafkaminas of that discussion, two consequences. The first has to do with tuma. In order to have a tuma that transfers from a dead body through an ohel, right, through a tent that overhangs the dead body, and being under that same tent would cause you to be tummy as well, you need to have a full skeleton there, or not a full skeleton, I'm sorry, but at least a complete spine. So in this case, Beit Hillel says, once you're missing one chulia, one vertebrae, the spine is no longer considered complete, and tumma would no longer transfer within that tent. If you touched the spine, you'd still become tummy, but if you're in the same room as it, you wouldn't adhere to that tumma. Whereas Beit Tamai would say, no, that's still considered a complete spine, so you would be tummy. Another nafkamina of this discussion has to do with trefot. If an animal has a certain fatal injury, so even if you shecht it properly, the animal is still considered a treif. That's the etymology of the word treif comes from trefa more than it does from other not kosher foods. And here, the stringency of the two opinions is flipped. So in order to be a trefa, you need to be, according to Beit Hillel, missing one chulia makes you a trefa, an animal rather, not a person, but missing, you need two for Beit Shammai. So if I have a cow that I shecht and I discover it's missing one of its vertebrae, so Beit Hillel says, this cow is treif. I'm not allowed to eat it. That's a chumrah. Beit Shammai says, no, that cow is kosher. It's shechted properly, and so you are allowed to eat it until it's missing two vertebrae. So one legal question, right, what is the status of a spine where only one vertebrae is missing, leads to two conflicting nafkaminas where you could be stringent in one area and lenient in the other area. And the Gemara in Erevin there says that if you want to follow the chumras of both opinions, you're making a foolish mistake. You shouldn't be machmir for both views. And if you want to follow the leniencies of both opinions, that presumably would be even worse, right? Because you're trying to get out of things and you're not being internally, conceptually coherent. So that's the basis for the view of Reina Yona. It's quoted in other Rishonim as well, that two contradictory opinions shouldn't be adhered to, and so you have to pick a side, right? You're going to pick Beit Hillel, you're going to pick Beit Shammai, and similarly in our Gemara, you have to pick Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim. And the only chiddush of the Gemara in Brachot is that you get to pick, or maybe your community gets to pick. Meiri invokes a different halachic model for understanding the situation. Not the model of competing halachic rulings, but the model of the Shnei Shvilim. Someone here know what the case was?
Yeah.
In the Shvilim case? You're talking about the case,
I
right?
I think I know what it was.
Right. So,
I explained it the best I could.
Excellent. So, I mean, there are sub-cases of Shnei Shvilim, but the simple case is fine enough. So two people walk in two different paths, and I know there's a body under one of them. I don't know which. So if the two people individually go to Beit Din, even apparently the same Beit Din, and they each ask their question separately, they're both allowed to be considered tahor. It's halacha that saveik tumah versus harabim, we are lenient on, and if you're not sure if you're tameh, as long as you're in a public place, meaning these are public roads, so we're allowed to consider both of them tahor. Even though that seems to be internally contradictory, right? But nonetheless, the Meiri is okay with it. Now the Meiri says he's okay with it because it's a din derabanan. There may be more there, though. Let's share this now. So, did you get a chance to see Rav Soloveitchik, the passage from the Rishimo Shiurim on source number 7? So, he has a theory that he's using to explain the Shita of the Rambam. I think we have to look at the Rambam and realize it's a little bit more complicated there. But he has a theory with a very nice halachic vocabulary that I think explains this debate very well. The Stipler also, in his commentary, Kehilat Yaakov, also has a similar kind of theory, though he uses a slightly different vocabulary. He says, there are two ways to think about situations where we're not sure what the answer is. One way to think about, and let's say we rule leniently in such a situation. So one way to explain that situation is to say, I'm not sure if the answer is A or B, and I am choosing B. Right? B is now the correct answer. That's what happens whenever you ask a halachic question. You ask a shayla, you get a ruling, and most of the time, the ruling is telling you, here is the halachic fact that you have to deal with. And the way the Rav is describing it here, he's referring to this rule, safek derabanan lekula, that when we're lenient in rabbinic matters. So his first side is, I have hachrat hasafek keshitat hamekel. Right? When I'm not sure what the ruling is, I'm allowed to rule definitively in accordance with the lenient view. The alternative way to describe the situation is that it's not a hachra at all. Meaning to say, I haven't ruled definitively in accordance with the lenient opinion. I haven't ruled whatsoever. I'm still stuck in a situation where I don't know what the answer is. But life must go on. I have to be able to do something. And you have what the Rav calls a nihug lekula. I'm allowed to practice leniently, even though I haven't made any definitive claim about reality or about halacha whatsoever. I'm not ruling, I'm just living my life. I have to be able to perform some action irrespective of the reality. So applying this distinction back to the machloka between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Meiri, I think it fits very nicely. What's Rabbeinu Yonah saying? He's saying that when you say avad kamar avad, you're engaging in a process of halachic ruling. You or your community is becoming your own posek. It's very exciting. You know, you have one opportunity where I know enough information, I'm able to make a decision for what the halacha will be. Is it daytime or nighttime? Is it mincha time or maariv time? But you've got to stand by your word because you're making a claim about the law or about reality. Is it daytime? So you make a claim, you've got to stick with it. I think Meiri would say otherwise. Meiri would say, I'm not making a ruling at all. Is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? Is the halacha like the Rabbanan? I don't know. Right? I have reason to think it's like the Rabbanan. You know, the majority seems to go in that direction, but also Rabbi Yehuda is endorsed by the Mishnah and Adiot, so I can't tell. I don't know what the answer should be. But I have to live my life, so I'm allowed to live my life in accordance with one opinion or with another opinion. And because at no point did I ever sit down and say, here is my claim about the halakhic reality, I'm allowed to switch back and forth. The more extreme version of this, which is a little bit harder to justify, but it is attested in the sources, is Rabbeinu Tam's view in source number 3. So Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfot there, he's dealing with the question of, really about the Zman Kriyat Shema, but it touches on our issue as well. So one of the first halacha issues that comes up in Masechet Brachot is the timing for Kriyat Shema. And the Mishnah seems to be fairly explicit in saying the timing for Kriyat Shema is from Tzedek Kochavim, when the stars come out. And Rashi on that Mishnah, on that Gemara says, well, if that's true, then why does everyone say Shema before the stars come out? Anyone who davens at any Mincha Maariv minyan is going to be saying Shema before the stars are out, most of the time on Friday nights. Whatever your minyan situation is, you're likely to be davening then as well. So why are you saying Shema? So Rashi says, you're not really fulfilling the mitzvah of Shema, you're just saying Shema as part of your davening, maybe you're contributing to, you know, davening after learning Torah, in some sense. And the real Shema that you do is Kriyat Shema Lamita. And there are some people who, when they daven early, will make sure to say all three parshiyot of Kriyat Shema, Kriyat Shema Lamita. You even have a view that says that you're meant to say a bracha when you say Kriyat Shema in that way, and not Birchu Kriyat Shema like we say in davening, but Asher Kitanu Mitzvot Vitzivanu Likro Shema. Because if you're really fulfilling the mitzvah, and mitzvot have brachot attached to them, so there should be a bracha here. So you have that view, which is accordance with Rashi's position. Rabbi Tam doesn't like it, the Balei Tosfot generally don't like it, for several reasons that were in the slightly smaller print over here. You know, most people don't say all three parshiot, you don't say the brachot. Excuse me. So he offers another suggestion, which is that really you are fulfilling your mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So how am I fulfilling my mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? It's because we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, which means that daytime ended at Plag HaMincha, which means now it's nighttime. And even though the Mishnah in the beginning of Brachot sounds like you have to wait till Tzedek Kochavim, we are allowed to daven earlier because now it's nighttime. And I'm allowed to say Kriyat Shema of the night at nighttime. And then the very last line of Tosfos was relevant here. Ve'im tomar heach anu mitpalalim tefillah mincha samoch lachashecha va'afilu la'achar plaga mincha. So if that's true, that's fine. But most of the time, we don't daven mincha before plag. We're usually davening mincha after plag. So the fact that we have Rabbi Yehuda Shita theoretically doesn't work if we don't accept it, right? If we're not practicing in accordance with it, and we're davening mincha later, so we're asserting that it's daytime. So how could it also be time for Kriyat Shema? So he says, must be Yesh Omer Dakai Malan Kerabanan as well. Darmri Zman Tfilat Mincha Ad Ha'erev Arminan Lakaman Hashtad Lo Itmar Hilchata Lo Kamar Velo Kamar David Kamar Avad Udavad Kamar Avad. So I'm able to accept Rabbi Yehuda vis-a-vis Kriyat Shema, such that I could daven Kriyat Shema earlier than sunset. And I'm able to accept the Rabbanan vis-a-vis Mincha, so that I could daven Mincha after sunset. Now, that's obviously internally contradictory, and by definition, he's talking about doing so on the same day. Right? Today, I'm going to say Mincha, and then I'm going to say Shema before the stars come out. So, the Rush explains, this is all because we're makel by tefillah. Like, really, everything we just said about methodology of resolving doubts, whether we're ruling for ourselves, whether we're sort of finding a way to practice, that's not a model for Kol HaTorah Kula. We have very special leniencies here. We're makel by davening. We're not so strict about being internally consistent. We're not so strict about saying mincha and maariv in a way that fits conceptually together. We're allowed to be makel by tefillah. But I think if we take the Rav's suggestion maybe one step farther, then I think it works well. And that's actually where the Rav suggests it. He thinks that it works as an explanation for Rabbeinu Tam. Yes, it's true, it's tarti desatre, but because we're talking about a nihug, we're talking about just a way of living my life in the existence of halachic doubt, so I'm able to go this way. So I'm going to the third line with bold in it. Nira derabinu tam ba'ramam sovrim, shedin safik derabana lakula, have a din nihug, din noagim lakula, mikol makom b'chol safik derabanan. In every place, we are making like every safik derabanan. So it's not like the Meiri, who said, that's true, but each day I have to pick something consistently. No, each individual decision I make, I'm allowed to choose a lenient view. So my individual decision right now to daven mincha, I'm allowed to choose a lenient view. And now in 5 minutes, when I'm going to decide to daven maariv, I also am allowed to choose a lenient view. In each local moment in my life, I'm allowed to behave in a way that is as convenient for me as possible. That's what Safik Darabanan Lakula means. It means I could be as lenient as I want at any rabbinic matter. I have to choose some legitimate opinion, but I could be as lenient as I want at any moment sort of a step beyond where the Meiri had taken us originally. Okay, so let's say we usually go to 130, right?
Yes.
Got it. Okay, so let's take a look at the Rambam, just because I think the Rambam kind of breaks down a lot of the assumptions of our shiur. He presents what seems to be a very different model entirely. The Rambam here, both in the Perush HaMishnayot and in the Mishneh Torah, seems to have a different paradigm here. He's talking about the Zmanim for Mincha and the Zmanim for Maariv, and you can tell he's thinking about this very differently. So he says, HaLamadata, Shas Zmanim Mincha Gedola, is from 6.5 hours until 9.5. And then Zmanim Mincha Ketana is from 9.5. Adji Yishar Minayom Sha'aur Via, meaning until Plaka Mincha. V'yishlo L'Yitpal Ota Adji Tishka Achama. And he is able to daven until sunset. You can tell there's a shift in the language, right? The time is until Plaka Mincha, but you're able to daven until a little bit later. That might not have been how I would have said Avad Kamar Avad V'Avad Kamar Avad. I wouldn't have said there's a right answer and then here's a leniency. I would have said the time goes until the end, or I would have said that you could choose when you want to daven, but I wouldn't have said it exactly like this. Then the Rambam, a few halachot later, starts talking about Maariv, and he says, Hamid Palal Tfila Kodem Zmana Lo Yatsa Yedei Chavato. If you daven before the appropriate time, you haven't been Yotzei. The Choser Mud Palal Lo Tab Zmana. And you have to go back and daven at the appropriate time. He adds that there is a certain leniency period by Shacharis. Vim Hid Palal Tfila Shacharit B'Shat HaDchak Achar Sha'ala Amud HaShachar Yatsa. If you daven Shacharis after dawn, so that's already day enough for the purposes of being Yotzei B'Dieved. But now let's look at his formulation by Maariv, and he echoes it in the Perush HaMishnayot as well. The yeshlo lehitpalal tefillat arvit shalele Shabbos be'erev Shabbos kodem shetishka hachama. A person is able to daven Maariv on erev Shabbos before sunset, and similarly v'chein mitpalal arvit shal motzei Shabbos b'Shabbos, and even daven Maariv early on motzei Shabbos, right, not after Shabbos has ended. Lefishet tefillat arvit reshus ein medaktikin bezmana. Maariv is whatever we'll call a rishus for now. It's optional in some sense. So we're not too worried about exactly the right time. This also isn't how I would have said Avad Kamar Avad V'Avad Kamar Avad. I would have said, sure, you could daven Maariv up in, you know, after Plaka Mincha because now it's considered nighttime. Or there's a reason to say it's considered nighttime. But that's not what Rambam's suggesting. Rambam doesn't seem to be endorsing this view of Avad Kamar Avad V'Avad Kamar Avad. He seems to have a different perspective entirely. I think the Aruch HaShulchan tries to articulate this well. He invokes a little bit of the language in the Perush HaMishnayot as well, which is very similar. He says, it seems that the Rambam doesn't buy the assumption we've held for every other Rishon, that Mincha and Maariv are integrally connected, that the end of Mincha is going to be the beginning of Maariv. He's dealing with Mincha and Maariv as two separate halachot. So by Maariv, he's saying, you know, anything's possible by Maariv. I don't care. Daven whenever you want. We're not so makbid on the time. He says, why does the Mishnah say tefila arvit ein la keva? Because, you know, it's a rishus. And because it's a rishus, we're not too picky. And we'll give you time all the way through the night. We'll let you daven early. We're not policing you. By Mincha, we are policing you a little bit. Right? There is an ideal time. The ideal time is until Plaka Mincha. We'll give you a little extra, you know, extension to a less ideal time for Mincha. But really, there's a right answer for when Mincha is. Now, what's difficult in the Rambam is to try to explain why, how he's reading Avad Kamar Avad Avad Kamar Avad. And the Aruch HaShulchan struggles exactly how to understand that. Meaning, it sounds like the conclusion of our Gemara is we have two equally legitimate opinions. The Aruch HaShulchan has to try bending over backwards a little bit to say, really, what did the Rabbanan say? The Rabbanan didn't think that you're meant to daven Lechad Chila until sunset. They really agreed with Rabbi Yehuda that Lechad Chila you should daven until Plaka Mincha. Just that you have a little extra wiggle room at the end, very similar to Shacharis, right? Where you daven until 4 hours, and then you get a little extra give if you need to daven until 6 hours. But there's an ideal time, and there's a technically possible time at the end. And according to Aruch HaShulchan, at least, Rambam is poskening like the Rabbanan. He's poskening definitively in accordance with that view, that ideally you start it until plug and then only get a little bit of an extension, kind of irrespective of the view of Rabbi Yehuda. I'll It's 1:30 now, so I'm not going to hold you longer, but I'm sure you've got a chance to see the Mishnah Berurah, who deals with the, you know, very practical question that comes from this whole discussion, which is the question of early Shabbos, or specifically those fixed time early Shabbos, so 7 o'clock minyanim, that seem to be kind of poskening inconsistently with regard to this. A couple of leniencies do get mentioned. Maybe the leniency of being able to get a tzibur together to daven is one that's very important and that allows this, which would mean that if you're not davening with the tzibur, you really should be careful and you shouldn't daven start Shabbos at 7 o'clock. You should be careful to kind of straddle plag or straddle shkia in order to make it work. You have others who invoke the idea of Tosefa Shabbos, that the value of starting Shabbos early is enough to rely on more lenient opinions here, like the opinion of Tosfot. But based on what we see as the opinion of most Rishonim, it becomes a little bit trickier to justify. Now, for the opinion of the Rambam, it would actually work very well, because Mincha we're davening at, you know, it's technically okay time, you know, past Plak HaMincha, but it's still a legitimate time. And Mariv, we're not too picky about. Just, you know, calm down about Mariv. There's no need to avoid a contradiction here. So you have opinions to rely on, and the Mishnah Berurah doesn't seem so comfortable with any of them. He doesn't really love it, but there's what to rely on, and there's also what to rely on if you want to be a little bit of a nudnik and kind of push back against the community minhag. So everyone remains happy here. Okay. Yisar kol